This is the Christmas season, and we probably, all of us, would have heard this phrase, the reason for the season. It's very familiar. Maybe for years we have heard that, and many preachers have preached sermons on that. And we think, usually the sermons start by saying, why all these decorations, why all this exchange of gifts, and why all these new clothes, and fees and merrymaking and all that. And they say that finally the reason for all that is because Jesus was born. And we rejoice because Jesus was born. Now the further question is, what's the reason for Jesus? Okay. The reason for Jesus is us. It's for us that He came. If we weren't in need, if we didn't need a savior, He needn't have come. He could have been up there in heaven looking after us, taking care of us, all that would have been fine. Because He saw us in need, He came down. He lived as a man. He went through all the kinds of problems that we go through. He was tempted. He overcame. And He finally suffered and died because He had to pay the price for our sins. So the reason for this season is us. And if it were not for our need, there would not have been any baby born in Bethlehem. And we all know that story and all that. So, this message is not a regular message. It's something unusual. Because of this reason, that Jesus came for us. And I wanted to make it very, very personal for each one of us. And I hope and I trust that God will do something for each one of us today as we spend this time here with God's Word. You know, Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9 says that our human heart is deceitful above all things. We can easily fool ourselves. We can believe what is a lie and convince ourselves that it is true. Forget about convincing other people and all that. That comes later. But we can even convince ourselves that some lie, some falsehood is true. And it happens in many areas of our life. But the problem is, the most serious deception is self-deception. The most serious deception is self-deception. When we deceive ourselves, when we fool ourselves. Maybe it starts as a matter of ignorance. We didn't know something. But we believe certain things and we don't realize it's wrong. We don't realize it's false. But we carry on thinking that what we believe is right. And later on, somehow, I mean, when we realize, oh, all this time I thought like that, that was wrong. Then we are shaken. Now we are not talking about ordinary type of shaking up things like that. But a life and death situation about our relationship with God. Now, if we are assuming that we are related to God, we are children of God, and we are not, that's the worst deception that can be. We know that. But it's actually happening all over the world. Many, many people are assuming, taking for granted that we are children of God when we really haven't become children of God. All of us have the possibility, the potential, the opportunity to become children of God. But it's not necessary. I'm not blaming any particular person or individual or anybody. I'm not trying to be critical or judgmental or anything. But I'm just trying to say for us to face the fact that we should examine the possibility that we may be deceiving ourselves. Because it's a matter of life and death. Imagine we believe for all our life that we are children of God and we do all this and all that and then finally we land up in eternity and find ourselves in the wrong place. We can't do anything about it at that time. I'm not trying to be dramatic or trying to frighten you or any such thing, but these are real life death situations. We need to face these things. We need to be confronted with these things so that we can be very clear about our position in relationship to God, in relationship to other people and all that. We shouldn't be deceiving ourselves. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 verse 24, Luke 13 24 says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Can you believe Jesus said that? Many will strive to enter in but will not be able. We would think that it's okay, it's so easy, just walk in, just as I am, without a plea, just say, raise the hand or sign in some place and we just walk in. And Jesus said, many will strive to enter in but they will not be able. So why is it happening like that? Why is it that many are not able to enter? Okay, there are many reasons. One is many haven't even heard about Jesus. So many things like that. But what about people who have heard about Jesus, like all of us? We have heard, maybe we grew up knowing about Jesus. And is it still possible that some of us, many of us, have not been actually able to enter in the kingdom of God? Why is it? It's possible because we can fool ourselves. That's the problem. We can fool ourselves. We can imagine good things about us. We don't want to face the reality about us. So we can imagine, tell ourselves, yes, everything is all right with us. You know, people, Jesus has said that I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one can come to God except to the Father except through me. So there is a way for us to enter into the kingdom of God. If we try to climb up some other way, if we try to find a shortcut, if we try to find an easier path, we'll end up deceiving ourselves. That's as simple as that. When Jesus said, I am the way, there is a way to enter into the kingdom of God, and that's the only way. No one can enter any other way, but we try some other way, then we won't be able to enter, and we will think we have climbed up and we have reached everybody, we are with everybody else. And when we are in the crowd, we think we are part of the crowd, and we may be deceived. We may be deceiving ourselves. Please understand, I am not trying to cause anyone to doubt his salvation or her salvation. That's a work the devil does. They like to make us, you know, doubt and fear and be worried about it and all. That's not what I am trying to do. What I want to do is to try and help everyone to be sure that he or she is a child of God and be certain about it without any doubt. Okay, so we need to do some test. We go to a doctor and we do some medical test to find out what is wrong or right, positive or negative results. We can have some kind of a spiritual checkup between us and God. So it's not about you and me. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or stand up or tell me something or any such thing. What you are thinking of in your mind, I will never know. But if you are being honest before God in your heart, then something can happen. You don't have to be afraid of any people, anybody, including me. You don't have to give any answer to me. But if you are sitting here being honest with God, and whatever comes to your mind as you think about these things, if you are honest about it, you will find salvation. True salvation. Because it's not difficult. It's not something so difficult that only a few people somehow manage to find it. No. Jesus came and died for the whole world. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's not a tough thing, but it all depends on how honest we are with ourselves sitting before God and how sincerely we respond. We want to ask ourselves a few tough questions. They are tough questions because it deals with a very important subject in our life. As I said earlier, you don't have to answer me. So you don't have to make up an impressive answer. You can be plain. You can speak your own language, frank before God. So there is no point trying to make a nice looking answer. And I am also not standing here to judge which of you are really children of God. I don't know. God only knows. I am not standing here as a judge trying to say, so and so, you people are not children of God. No. Like I said, I wish every one of us sitting here will have the assurance that we are children of God. The first question, first test we need to ask ourselves is, can we think of a particular time when we started having this relationship with God? Can we think of a particular time when we started having this kind of relationship with God? Everyone should be able to give some clear answer about this. See, when you get relationship with some person, you know how it started, when it started, you know that. Even if we don't know the exact date or the minute when it happened, at least we should be able to say generally it was on such and such a period. It was at that time or at that season or that month or something. We should have some clarity in our mind about how we got and when we got related to God, because it doesn't happen unknowingly. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen because we are coming to church or we are in a Christian family or any such thing. There has to be a beginning to this relationship with God. So the first question we ask ourselves honestly is, can we think of a particular time in our life, even if we don't know the exact date and all that, a particular period, a time in our life when this relationship began? Because this relationship begins with a definite choice on our part. God is always available. God's offer is always open for everybody. But then we take up that offer at a certain point in our life because we make that choice. I want to be with God. I want to belong to God. I want a life with God. I want to be a child of God. So we make a choice in our life. So there has to be a certain time in our life when we made that choice. The reason why I am saying this question is, it is possible for people to just take for granted that they are children of God without having made any particular decision in their life. And that is self-deception. Without knowing the facts, without knowing the real way into the kingdom of God, we just assume we are children of God. For what reason we assume? We have a Christian name. We are Christians, and Christians are children of God. We grew up in a Christian family. As far as I can remember from childhood, I have been attending church. All that we can say. But we would be deceiving ourselves if at any point in time we didn't make this choice, a definite choice in our life, to leave our old life and begin a new life with God. So if we haven't made such a choice in our life, the chances are we don't have a proper relationship with God. Let's be honest about it. the people who think that we have always been Christians, so what is the point becoming a Christian? The point is like this. The Bible actually says something very different. You know, when we were born into this world as babies, did we know that we were born in God's eyes as children of the devil? No, I'm not being dramatic. I'm not trying to, you know, say anything to impress you, but what I'm saying is what the Bible says, that when we are born as children of the devil. John chapter 8 verse 44 says, Jesus is telling those people who didn't believe in him, you are of your father, the devil. And that's not the only place. 1 John 3:10 says, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. What does that mean? It means that the world is divided into two groups, children of God and children of the devil. We belong to one of these groups. Even if we haven't thought about it in this way, we never realized that we were children of God, but we were born into this world because our forefather Adam and Eve handed over their lives to the devil, to Satan. And from then on, all people who are born from Adam and Eve are born as children of the devil. They are dead with relation to God. And then that is why Jesus actually caused this season. Jesus had to come down to restore us to our relationship with God, to make us children of God. And Jesus also said in John 3:3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we were born once physically. Jesus said that's not enough to be in the kingdom of God. Nobody is going to be in the kingdom of God if he is just born once as a baby in this world. You need to be born again. Of course, he was speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a big leader of the Jews in the synagogue, religious leader, may have been a great scholar also, by the Old Testament Bible scholar. To such a person, Jesus is saying, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, because you are born and you are now a child of God, child of the devil, and you need to be born again and become a child of God. So it's not automatic that just because we are born in a Christian family, we know the Bible, we've come to the church regularly, and we may even be active in the church. We don't need to be a child of God in order to be able to sing well, for example. Atheists can also sing well. Atheists can play the guitar, and all those things. And you speak and you do many, many things, all these decorations and all, anybody can do. So even if we are very active in the church and everybody else knows us as being very active in the church, very much involved in the church, doesn't mean a thing. We have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. We need to be born again. So if we haven't been born again, that's what I was referring to. Was there a time in your life when you made a choice for God, when you gave up your old life and you chose God? Lord, I want to be yours. I want to follow you. I want to obey you. I want to live for you. Because you have done all these things for me, you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. Because of that, now I love you. I want to follow you. Have we made a choice in our life? If we haven't, maybe we have been assuming or taking for granted that we are children of God. Now, if our honest answer to this question was, I'm not so sure, that's fine. That's an honest answer. We can take off from there. We can go on from there. But let's not, at this point in our life, let's not try to justify ourselves. Let's not try to blame other people. Let's not try to prove to ourselves that we are right. face reality, whatever reality it is. I'm not saying every single person here is not born of God. No, I know that many people here are born of God. But I don't want anybody to be in doubt. I don't want anybody to go away from here without an assurance in their heart that we are children of God. So let's face this question squarely. So why do people assume that they are children of God without having made this kind of a choice, without having made this kind of a transaction with God? Why is it? There are usually different types of assumptions people are making. Some people say, I have always been in the church. I have never done any serious sin in my life. The question still remains, okay, assuming you have not done any serious sin in your life, you have been coming to church and all that, when exactly were you born again? We still need to answer that question. Because coming to church, being a decent person and all that is not enough. Because Jesus said, you have to be born a second time. And we need to know when that happens. When you go to the hospital for a delivery, you know exactly to the minute when the baby was born. When we are spiritually born, we may not remember the time and the date and all that, but at least we should know it has happened. Something real has happened in my life. I am born again. I am a child of God. When you read this whole chapter in Ezekiel, chapter 18, God is speaking through the prophet to repeat a certain matter again and again and again. He says, if your father was a saint, if your father was a righteous man, if your father was, in quotations, a Christian, doesn't mean you are a Christian. The examples given in that chapter is, your father may be a very righteous man, but if you are a wicked man, you will perish, he will be saved. And if you are a wicked man and your son is a righteous man, he will be saved, you won't be saved. It's not about family connections. It's not about what all traditions we grew up with and all that. It's about our individual relationship with God. So that is why it is very important for each of us to make sure that we are related to God. We have become children of God because, like I said earlier, we all know this. Suddenly in eternity, let's say in eternity means not so many years later, maybe we don't know when we will die, when we don't know how long we will be alive. When we die, that our last chance is over to make things right with God. Then after that, there is nothing you can do. Even though some churches preach that other people can pray for the dead people and do some penance and all that so they can be saved. No. Once a person dies, that's it. His last chance is over. So before we die, we need to make sure that we are right with God. We have become children of God. And we don't know when we will die. So we can't afford to take a chance and say, tomorrow I'll think about it. Next week I'll think about it. When it is more convenient and I'm free from all this stress and all that, then I will think about it. We don't know when it can happen, when our last chance will go away. We don't know. So it's very, very important for us to realize where we stand. Romans 14:12 says, all of us have to individually give an account of ourselves before God. We can't say, I am so-and-so's son or daughter, or I am from such and such a church, or anything like that. We have to say that on such and such a time, I came to have this relationship with God. I was born again, and that's why I am a child of God. A wrong assumption, another wrong assumption is, I have always believed in Jesus. As far as I can remember, I have always believed in Jesus. So what's wrong with me? Now the problem there is, believing in Jesus can be a little tricky. Because what do you mean, believe in Jesus? When we say believe in Jesus, we know Jesus was born as a baby in the manger and in Bethlehem, and wise men came and all those stories we know. And then we know he died on the cross, and then the third day he rose up again. Yeah, I believe all that. It is a historical fact, so I believe all that. That doesn't cause us to be born again. Because he died for the sins of the whole world, but the whole world doesn't get saved. Because each of us has to go to God and receive the salvation. Each of us has to stand before God, recognize we are sinners who need salvation, forgiveness, and ask for it and get it. It's free, but still we need to ask for it. Still we need to choose it. Still we need to give up our old life and choose this one. So if that doesn't happen, we may be fooling ourselves. The question is, has there been any particular period or time in your life when you realized your sins, your sinfulness, yourself as a sinner who was going to face this righteous, holy God at one point in time and give an account of our life? Have we ever considered that at any time? How we individually have to stand before God and give an account for our life? And suppose we say, no, I haven't committed murder or adultery or, you know, robbery or any such thing. But okay, like everybody else, I have done small lies I fought with my brothers and sisters, and I shouted at my father. All these small things we say, oh, small things. God is not going to throw us into hell because of these small lies. Is he going to do that? That's what we wonder. But for God, when you consider his righteousness, his impartiality, his justice, every single sin has to be punished. And Jesus, and God says in his word, we know that verse, the wages of sin is death. And death forever in hell. Now, the Bible actually goes on to say, God inspired the Apostle Paul to write this verse in the Bible. It says, if you say you haven't committed murder, but you have committed adultery, you have broken all the commandments in practical terms. You have broken commandments. Even if you broke only this commandment and not the other commandment, we still are sinners, disobedient people who have done wrong, and none of us can say we haven't done anything wrong. We have to honestly admit before God, we have been wrong in so many ways in our life, in the words we spoke, in the things we have done, in the thoughts we have thought, the imaginations about people, in so many, many ways from our early days to now, we have done many, many things wrong. So none of us can stand before God, see, I haven't done all those great things, sins, therefore you should let me in. God can say, I wish I could, but I can't, because sin has to be punished. So of course the way he dealt with it was not to punish us. He didn't want to punish us, because God is not only righteous and just, he is also loving. He didn't want to punish us, so he took the punishment on himself. And now he offers this salvation free to us. But we need to choose it. How do we choose it? By saying, Lord, I need this salvation, because what I deserve is punishment. And I cannot come to you and say, I was such a nice person, I did so many good things and all that, therefore let me inside. We can't say that, because in our heart we know we have done so many things wrong. None of us can stand before God and plead not guilty. We are all guilty in the sight of God. The only way and the free way God has made as an offer to us is, here it is, free. I have paid the price, you take it, you receive it. But for us to take it, we must have the recognition, I need it. Without it, I am lost. I am going to be lost for eternity if I don't take this offer of salvation. And our pride may want us to say, no, I am not such a sinner like all these other people. That's why Jesus made a very, very funny statement. He said, prostitutes and tax collectors will enter the kingdom of God before you people. Why? Those people know they are sinners. And you people don't want to admit you are sinners, because you have only said some small lies here and something in here and all that. You can't associate yourself with prostitutes and publicans and tax collectors and all. Those are sinners, everybody knows. But for the fact that when we stand before the holy God, all of us are sinners. And only people who can take that responsibility over their sins and say, Lord, I have failed. I have done wrong, many, many things wrong. Many people don't know what all I have done, but I have fumbled up. I have messed up. I have no chance of getting into heaven by my own merit. So this assumption that we can say, no, we didn't sin and all that is not right. Now we need to ask another question. The second question we need to ask ourselves is, if we assume, after all this talk about making a choice for God and all that, if we assume we have made a choice, we need to go to a deeper test. Because it's even possible that we haven't made a proper choice. We haven't made a, what they call, a considered choice. We haven't considered all the aspects of this choice, and we haven't made this choice deliberately, consciously, being aware of all the implications and all that. That's possible. So we need to go to a second level of test to check ourselves, not to look at other people, check ourselves to see where we stand. See, what changes have happened in your life after you made this decision for God? Because, see, God is light and we are in darkness. God is life and we were dead in our sins. And we made a choice. If we made the right choice, we would become children of God. We would be translated from death to life, from darkness to light. So many things would change in our life. So the question we ask ourselves is, okay, we say we made a choice for God. What happened afterwards? What changes have taken place in your life which will demonstrate to you and to other people that this new birth has actually taken place in your life? So some of the correct answers are, see, there could be many answers. Some of the correct answers are, I started wanting to obey God and give up sinning. It's a wanting. It's not that we stop sinning. It's not that suddenly we have victory over all sins and we are saints from then onwards. No, it's not that. But something happens inside our heart and we get some new desires. And now our desire is, Lord, I want to obey you from now onwards. And I want to stop sinning. All these things that I have been doing in the past, I want to give it up. I'm struggling, but I want to give it up. God is not asking, first give up all your sins and then come, then I will accept you. No, nobody can go to God like that. But God is saying, come to me as you are, a sinner, acknowledge that, come to me. When you come to me, I will change you. So if we say that we have come to God, we should see some changes in our life. I'm saying this because we want to be really sure that we have made the right choice in the right way. We have entered through the gate, through the door, and we have not climbed in some other way. So I started wanting to obey God and stop sinning is one correct answer. Another correct answer is, I have given up many sinful things that I used to do. You know, there is a Sunday school song which we used to sing in when we were small. Things I used to do, I do them no more. Whatever those things were, all of us know in our own life what those things were. And we should be able to say, beginning in a certain period of time, the things I used to do, I have given them up. over a period of time, or I am still struggling to give them up because I want to give them up. I don't want to do them anymore. I realize that was wrong, and that was displeasing to God, and that was a sin. I don't want to continue in sin, and many changes have happened in my life. Some people have miraculous changes happening in their life. A person was an alcoholic, and he came to Jesus. Suddenly his desire for alcohol completely disappeared. It could happen for a drug addict. It could happen in many ways. Sometimes God does miracles, but not for everyone. That's also a fact. Many other people have to struggle through this and overcome it. True. But there has to be some change happening in these areas of life. If we say we came to God, but we continue the same way, then we are deceiving ourselves. We are just assuming we have become children of God, we are born again and all that. Another correct answer is, I don't know how it happened, but suddenly or slowly over a period of time, I have this great desire to read the Bible and spend time in prayer. Now, we know ordinary people, even people born in Christian families and all that, even if you are told every day, get up in the morning and read your Bible, it's a very difficult thing to do. But when a person is born again, God, something happens inside, and then that person says, I want to know God more. I want to read the word more. I want to pray more because I need more help. So all these things begin to happen in that person's life. So this is another proof that something deep has happened in his life. Another person say, see, all my life till now, I was just doing whatever I liked. Now my entire life has turned around, and now I wish I want to be pleasing to God in whatever I do. I want to do the will of God for my life, and I want to be pleasing to God. This is a change that happens inside us, and over a period of time it begins to show in our actions, our words and our behavior and all that, but it should have begun in our heart. Another correct answer is, I feel like going and telling everybody about Jesus. That's another example of something that happened as a change in our lives. Something that happened inside. God does all these things, and we see the result, we feel the effect. And then we see suddenly a desire has come to tell other people about what Jesus has done for me. I was like this, but now Jesus has touched my life and is changing my life. You also can be changed. So we want to tell people about Jesus. So that could be another demonstration. Another answer could be, I had great ambitions for my life. I wanted to make a lot of money, or I wanted to become great, or I wanted to become, you know, such a great person, well known, and you know, all that. And when we come to Jesus, we say, Lord, you have purchased me. I was headed for hell. You gave your life for me, and you have purchased me. Now I belong to you. Now all my ambitions and all these things are nowhere there. Now I want to place myself in your hand. You have a plan for me. You have a purpose for me. Show me that. I want to do it. This is again a tremendous change that comes in a person's life when we get related to God. So your own answer may not be exactly one of these, but are your answers in line with these things, these kind of changes that we have been talking about? That again gives us an indication that God has started a work in us. Paul writes in the letter to the Philippians, the good work, the work that God has begun in your life, He will complete. But the point is, what we are trying to see today is to see whether actually He has been able to start something new in our life, or we have been taking things for granted. Now, assuming that there are some few people here, sitting here, who are now fiddling with the idea, I am not sure all these things are true in my life. I may have assumed I am a Christian, or I may not have had any interest in Christ till now. I have been coming to church because my parents forced me to come, or it's the normal thing to do, all that. But I want to really become a child of God. If there are people like that sitting here, the way is very, very simple. But the crux of the matter, the crucial issue is our honesty and sincerity before God. So what we are going to do now is to, what I want to do now is to help people like that to make a genuine, sincere, honest decision to follow Christ. And you don't have to impress me. I'm not asking you to raise your hands or see how many people have responded. No, it's not before people. It's between you and God. You make that choice. You make that decision. Then you can be right with God for the rest of your life on this earth and through eternity. So what matters is honesty. Avoid trying to impress anybody. Avoid trying to impress God. Be sincere and honest before God. Acknowledge your true condition. And as you sit here, honestly confess your sins to God privately. You don't have to tell anybody else or to tell, you know, speak loudly or any such thing. Confess everything that you can remember. You may not be able to remember every single sin that you have committed, no problem. Basically, we need to acknowledge that I am a sinner. I have done sins. I am a sinner. I don't remember all the sins that I have done, but I realize I am a sinner. I need a savior. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. So confess your whatever things come to your mind at this point in time, remember, and then confess them to God privately, secretly, but sincerely and honestly before God. He wants to forgive you. But he wants us to first acknowledge our sins. He came all the way, he died to be able to forgive us. Because he couldn't just forgive us saying, okay, it's all right, whatever you have done, it's all right, come in. He can't say that because he is righteous. Sin has to be punished. We deserve to be punished, we need to be punished, we need to be put on that cross. But he didn't want to let us go through that. He said, I will take the punishment so you can go free. That's what he has done. So at least we should be able to come to God and say, Lord, I am a sinner, but please forgive me. Ask God to help you not to do those things again. There is a thing called repentance. Repentance means you change the direction of your life. We were living according to our sins. We did whatever we liked, whatever gave us pleasure, we did that. But now we say, no, I am turning and going back to God. I don't want to do all these things again. I am going to God. That is called repentance. And we need to do that. Confess our sins, repent, and then believe. The real reason why Jesus came to this earth was to die for us. This was a man, Jesus. He was born to die. From the time he was born, his destiny was death on the cross. Of course, it didn't end there. He rose from the dead because death could not hold him. But he came all the way to die for us. And so when we come to God and ask for forgiveness, we believe, yes, there is forgiveness for me because my sins have already been punished. My sins were all placed on Jesus when he hung on the cross, and therefore I can get forgiveness. So when you believe like that, ask God to forgive us, and then God will do this supernatural miracle in your life, cause you to be really born again. Something deep will happen inside, and you will start seeing the changes after that. So finally, to help such people, I want to offer a prayer, not my prayer. I want to say how you can pray in your own heart, sitting wherever you are. Close your eyes and think of what Jesus has done for you on the cross to make this forgiveness available to you. And please repeat this prayer after me. I'm not even trying to look at you to see who is making this prayer. It's between you and God. So please be honest and respond to God. So repeat after me. Dear God, I realize now what a sinner I have been. I didn't realize how my sins made you suffer on the cross. Please forgive me. Now I know Jesus has already taken my punishment. Thank you for giving me this forgiveness freely. Help me now to leave my sins and to live the rest of my life for you. I thank you, my Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe God has done something in your lives. I believe God has heard sincere prayers that have come up from our hearts. And He is not a partial God. He has no favorites. Every single person who responds to God, He will receive. Jesus made this promise, whoever will come to me, I will in no way cast out. Whoever has come to Jesus, Jesus has accepted. That is the reason for this season. So may God help you and me, all of us, for the rest of our life, to become a blessing to other people, in Jesus' name. Thank you.